Hey, that's just dads who try, dog. That's just dads who try. Just getting them sleep, baby. Dads who try.
All right. We're live.
We are officially live, ladies and gentlemen, and we are doing something new today.
Yes. Here, scoot over just a little bit my way.
Yeah.
There we go. I think we're lined up.
Yep.
Okay, we're doing something we've never done before, and we are live recording our 50th episode of Dads Who Try.
Yeah, hey, by the way, congrats.
Congrats. We made it to 50 episodes. I can't believe it. We're live on Instagram, and we're live on TikTok.
Let's go. Two phones
at the same time. You know, I think we're going to go to, in just a little bit, we're going to go to questions on Instagram, questions on TikTok. Shout out to Walt, who's on here as well. We got people jumping in, and we're recording our 50th episode.
This is actually incredible. I remember when we first started this thing, you guys, we had went to OfferUp. We found this board. We had no idea what we were doing.
No.
Let's just be real. We just were like, hey, we're just going to record, and we're going to do it because we want to talk about fatherhood.
Yeah. If you guys didn't know this, Tommy and I had a previous account called Boba Boys.
Yep.
And we sold Pokemon cards, and we were just absolutely ridiculous. And then Tommy had his first son.
Yep.
And we shut down the channel.
We did.
We focused on fatherhood.
We did.
But the whole time we were like, hey, there's something, you know, we're best friends. We love doing this type of stuff. Like, what's something we're passionate about right now that we could probably take time to talk about?
Yeah.
And we came up with the idea with help from our good friend Erica Boschko.
Yeah.
We went through, you guys don't know how many times, how many different names we went through before we landed on Dads Who Try.
Yeah, we were, I forget all the names that we had.
Daddy life, dad yeah. issues, father issues.
Yeah, it know. Was all of the, like, I just remember, like, laughing at a lot of them. And then somehow we came into this name, Dads Who Try. And we're like, all right, I think that this could be something.
Absolutely. And what started out as a hobby has yeah. turned into a community of people. And I think we just realized, like, you know, a lot of people ask us, why did we start Dads Who Try? Well, first and foremost, it was not to go viral
yeah.
or to have a big audience.
Right.
It was to be an outlet.
Yeah.
And a place for us to express ourselves. And as we were trying to find, like, content for dads or fathers, it was all, like, either alpha dads.
Right.
Like six packs. Like Tommy has a six pack, but no, I can't relate to it.
No, I don't.
You do have a six pack.
I at one point I did.
Prove it.
I'm not proving it.
Prove it.
I'm not proving it.
Prove it to the people you don't have a six pack.
My wife's on here. I think I saw her name pop up, so maybe she can tell you, but I can tell you guys right now, it is not dad bod season right now, you guys. It is dad bod season, and so I definitely have.
Yeah, no, you come know. On. Tommy's the in shape one. I'm getting there. I have a shape. I might not be in shape. But we it was like, you know, dad content that was saturated by, you know, alpha dads who were extreme in one way of teaching, or it was like a bunch of like dumb dad content. Like, shout out to actually, that's not any shade thrown, but there's another account on here called @dumbdads and they're absolutely amazing. But it's like a lot of like dads who didn't know what they're doing right. or didn't want to try. And we're somewhere in between.
Yeah. It is a little bit bizarre, you know, I think when you do talk about like the father figure here, like I feel like a lot of the, it's kind of like what you're saying right now. It was either the alpha male or like, it was just like the dads that you can laugh at. And while I do enjoy like great content, I'm also like, hey, there are dads who are trying and, you know, there are like we just have the privilege of being able to start a channel and having a little bit of success from it because of the growth, if that's what, you know, successful is
yeah.
in people's eyes. But for us, it's like, hey, we just have this platform. We're going to bring dads together. We're, you know, we don't have all the answers, by the way.
No.
But we have enjoyed like creating a space where we can like learn, even doing this channel and the podcast and social media, you guys, like for us, it's like, I'm like asking these questions, like, because I'm actually trying to learn as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I think one thing about having a podcast like this is like, if we talk about something and we get it wrong, which yeah. sometimes we do, there's no one bats 100%. Sometimes we get it wrong. The thing about parents is that they're so passionate, they will let you know instantly that you got it wrong and why you got it wrong and the resources to show you the right way.
Yeah.
And we're quick to correct, because it really is like the whole mantra, the whole idea is like we're trying. Like we I don't think anyone is perfect or does it perfectly right every time.
Yeah.
We're just trying to put in a little bit of effort, you know, every step of the way.
That's it. And I would say, you know, it's our 50th episode, and I just can't believe that we're actually here. And I feel like we're just getting started again.
We're just getting started, yeah. We're doing daily podcasts now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Tommy, I had something that happened to me today.
Yeah, me too. I got to share it with you in here in a little bit.
Okay. We have a four-year-old and a seven-year-old.
Yeah.
Our four-year-old, Grayson, he still loves milk.
Yep.
Like, obsessed with milk.
Yeah.
And, you know, before bed, he needs milk. When he wakes up, he needs milk. Before a nap, he needs milk. He's just obsessed. And our seven-year-old, on his two-year birthday,
yeah,
he was the same way. He loved milk, but it made him constipated.
Yeah.
And I don't can't believe I'm even saying this out loud. But he got so constipated that he pushed too hard at the toilet and his butthole fell out.
Holy cow.
I guess it's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's called an anal prolapse.
Yeah.
And my wife called me and she's freaking out.
Yeah.
Like we're at church. I'm at church at the time and I get a call from my wife. She's hysterical. River's butthole fell out.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
And I'm trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean River's?
Yeah. How is that even possible? It's not possible.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
And so we rush him to the hospital. And, you know, it just ended up being like a super simple procedure. And he had to start taking Miralax because he was constipated.
Yeah.
And so now,
yep.
Grayson, he's asking for more milk. And his brother goes, his 7-year old or the 4-year old, Grayson, if you drink too much milk, your butthole's going to fall out. And like, he like solved it.
Yeah. That's incredible.
4-year old was like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
I'm good.
It's so funny you're saying this right now. 2 days ago. Sorry, yesterday.
Yeah.
I showed you a picture.
Yes.
And you guys, I don't know for all the parents out there that are watching this. Our son is very particular about what he's eating these days, our oldest. Now, when he first started off, he really enjoyed eating anything. I remember actually feeding him sushi like at one point and he was like, chill.
Yeah.
Now he's like very particular. There's only a few items that he loves to eat. One of them being Dino Nuggets. And then the other is like French fries or like pizza, just
like all
this,
American horrible for you food.
Yeah, all the stuff that you're not really supposed to be feeding this kid. And so because of his diet, he's like constipated a lot.
Yeah.
And so my wife's like texting me at work and she's like, hey, we can tell when he starts to get there because he's like starting to sweat a little bit. You can tell he's like trying to push.
Stop.
Dude, I'm not kidding. His face gets a little bit red. You know, he starts to get a little sweaty and you can tell he's in his little corner.
Yo, what is it about toddlers when they poop, like in their diaper, they walk to a corner?
Dude, he's
or like try to hide behind a couch.
Yes, he's literally on the corner, by the side of the couch. And poor kid, you know, we've been giving him Miralax like you know, a few times a week to just kind of
just
get
to loosen him up. A little
exactly.
Bit.
Well, he goes by my wife, and he's like you know pressing her to like he's like hey I gotta like he's like just saying poop. And he doesn't know how to like we're going to start potty training him at the end of this year so that I can.
All right,
once we have a break.
It is the end of this year, but yeah totally.
Here in a couple weeks, I'll be home for like a whole week. So I'll be able to help.
Yeah.
Well, he tugs on her. And so she's like, all right, let me just see what's going on down there. She like touches his, you know, a little bit of his booty. And dude, this big chunk of turd just comes right out.
Like it was like plugged and then it just plugged, boom.
Bop. Yeah. And it was like, you know, a little bit red. So she was like calling me. She was like, hey, like I think he's like bleeding and you know he turns out to be like fine, but it's just like what
it's in scary, the act man.
Like as a like it's my our he's our you know he's our oldest right now.
Yeah.
But both these boys have like poop issues right now and I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, moral of the story is parenting is crappy. It's a you know parenting if you ask us it's a crappy situation.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I know. Okay, we want to know from you guys. Let us know in the chats. What are some of your go-to potty training tricks or you know, maybe what was some success that you had for potty training? Let us know in the comments or share it and we'll let the people know.
But also, that was really one of the story I was going to tell you.
Hold on, let me say this before you jump into this next story.
Yeah.
For everyone who's just now tuned in, this is a live recording of our 50th episode of Dads Who Try. So big shout out to everyone. Excuse me. Big shout out to everyone who's tuned in. We just want to say thank you so much. Your wife is on here.
She's asking for advice. Help.
Yes, yeah. We do need the. Yeah, we do need the advice. So let us know. But okay, let us know what is this? What is the real story you want to tell me?
So you guys, I'm at work today.
Yeah.
I need to go to 7-Eleven to grab a water and some gum.
Oh no.
Yes.
I already know where this is going.
Yes. I get to 7-Eleven and I'm wearing like these swishy pants, you know? So like my, you know, you could hear my keys jingle and my wallet's kind of like, you know, popping around. And
By the way, the 7-Eleven that's by us that we walk to.
Yes.
It plays really loud classical music outside of its doors at all hours.
Yes.
It's very strange. It's very strange.
Very strange. But that didn't have to, you know, that like didn't affect like what was going on. You guys, here's where it gets interesting. I get what I get, and I'm on my way back, and I'm trying to like I realize that I see the light kind of blinking, you know, the red, and I could tell that I have like 5 seconds left before it like stops.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
trying to run. All right. So I'm running, and you guys, my phone falls out of my pocket. I don't hear the phone. I don't hear the phone drop, but I can just tell my pocket still gets a little lighter.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
And I hear a doo doo like a. And I'm like, what was that? You know, and I made it across the street and I'm like, I'm cool. I start to kind of feel my pockets. I feel my keys and my wallet, but I don't feel my phone. I look back, my phone's on the ground. A car drives on, you guys, drives on top of this phone and my phone is completely shattered. Like I'm actually on TikTok right now.
Yes.
Going live, but I can only see like bits and parts of the screen. It's so shattered right now that I only see bits and pieces of you guys.
Yeah, we literally have two phones set up. We have Instagram on this side. We have TikTok on this side. In the TikTok one, we can't see ourselves. We don't, TikTok, we're so sorry. We don't know what questions you're asking or if you're saying anything because it's completely shattered.
Yeah,
it looks like people are commenting, but it looks like Spider-Man. It's like the Spider-Man edition. It's completely shattered. It is phone issues.
Yeah.
It's like phone issues. Insurance and DMV.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the biggest headaches in the world.
And by the way, I have no insurance on the phone, which I don't know how that was possible. And so here we are, you know. And so I'm fine. I'm doing just fine.
It sounds like you're convincing yourself.
Yeah, I really was. I was like, how am I going to read my emails? Like, how am I supposed to respond? And now that we made it to the podcast, you guys, I'm way good.
Yeah, now that you guys are here... We're way good. We're way good. Okay, we had a question. I asked Tommy a question on the podcast yesterday, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think as well. I asked Tommy the question, did you feel ready to have kids when you had kids?
Yeah.
Or did you feel like you just had to, like, jump in 2 feet? Today you asked a question on our Instagram. You posted a question that just said, what questions would you want us to answer on the podcast?
Yeah.
I don't know if you got a chance to go through them. But one of the questions was, is it normal to not want any more kids after your first kid?
Yeah, I think that's, I definitely think it's depending on the experience that you have with your first.
Yeah,
that, you know,
that's
to be
a big
honest
part
with
it.
You. Like, so when we had Levi, LJ, we would call him, he was an easy baby.
Yeah.
So, like, he slept good, you know, he was like, in bed by 6, didn't wake up till 6 the next morning. He napped like 3 times a day when he was first born. And so, I mean, he was cruising. So, like, we're like, oh, shoot, like, if kids are this easy, let's go for another one.
Yeah.
You know, so, of course, we went for another one. And then we had Ollie, who is the exact opposite and comes with all of his challenges. And now I'm not saying that Levi doesn't have his own challenges, but, like, kids are just different. And so, like, we start asking ourselves, like, man, like, this would be challenging if we'd, you know. So I think it just really depends on people's experiences. If you want kids, I would say just have kids.
Yeah, if you want kids, I don't think there's a right. There's
ever,
there's never a time where it's like everything in my life is perfectly ready to have kids.
Right.
It's like if you've never had a kid before, then you're not ready to have a kid because you've never experienced it before.
Right.
And I don't care how many classes you take. I don't care how many books you read. I don't care how many friends or parents you talk to. Until you have your kid, until you have your child, you'll never be ready for that moment.
Right.
Because there's, I think this is some of the problems I have with, you know, with a lot of the literature, with a lot of the dialogue in parenting, is that people love to talk about kids as if they're one consistent group.
Right, right, right.
And this is what I know, is that my firstborn is drastically different than my secondborn.
Right.
And my firstborn is not like your firstborn.
Right.
And every kid is different and unique and not standard. Of course, there's like principles and values that can help your parenting journey. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't think anyone has all the answers. And if anybody tells you they have all the answers, it's like, that's a red flag to, you know, to get out of here.
Yeah. It's, well, I think that only comes from like one perspective. And if you think that you're, you know, the only one with the right perspective, then I think you still have a lot of life to kind of live out. Because I'm like, you know, what a lot of like what I'm hearing sometimes is, you know, it works for a specific family, but it may not work for yours. So like proceed with caution, you
That's
know,
right.
like I'm always like kind of eerie again, you know, like what you're saying when people are like, hey man, like, this is the move. You have to try it. And if I try it, if it doesn't work, well, then is it on you or is it on them?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, with all this information being, you know, talked about these days, I just don't know, like, you know, because sometimes I feel like it can be discouraging for parents to kind of like read all this and be overwhelmed with like all this information. And it's like, well, what if it doesn't work for me? Well, there is a reality that it probably won't work for you. And you may have to find and navigate your own,
right,
you know, parenting flow. Like, there's
but,
a lot of...
But Tommy, I did everything gentle parenting told me to do. I was so gentle to my kid. It didn't work. And then on the other hand, it's like, yeah, I did everything authoritarian parenting told me to do. And I spanked my kids after every time they were disobedient. And it didn't work. It's like, you got to figure out what's right for you and your family and your rhythm and your flow. Here, for everyone just jumping on right now, I see a bunch of people jumping on the stream. We're live recording our 50th episode of Dads Who Try, the podcast. And so we're going to be putting this out here tomorrow. So you can find this on Spotify, on Apple, on all the areas. But in just a moment, I'm going to ask if you guys have any questions, let us know. We want to answer some of your questions. We want to go to you guys here in just a moment and answer some things live on the podcast. But
a couple of shout outs. So there's people from San Antonio. I see, you know, half the screen and I could tell that they're saying, thank you guys. Listen, you guys, if you guys are just jumping on now, like in the beginning, we're just kind of saying like, hey, this channel, it's, you know, we're literally just two dads really trying to like create a space for other dads that continue to join in the conversation
about parents,
and raising kids. And, you know, we're just super grateful that you guys are along this journey and jumping on with us. We're learning as much as you guys are, but we appreciate you guys just tapping in and kind of adding so much value. I always, you know, you guys at night, I hate that there's a few reasons why I would stay up.
Okay.
Okay. One being because my kids are up. They're crying.
Yep.
The second is because I'm going through our comments and I'm reading because I'm so intrigued about like half the stuff that's like in our comment boxes sometimes. And you go back to it, you guys, it's pretty awesome. Some are like, whoa, there's some angry people in this comment section. But also, you know, on the other side of it, it's like, man, they really have a great perspective.
Yeah, some people do. Some people have horrible perspectives. But I mean, let's call it what it is. Not everyone's opinions are good opinions. Some people are, it's shocking to me how many people are thankful or how many people have awesome perspectives. They help us grow. And then how many people comment out of hurt and pain and bitterness and, you know, people who are offended by us saying things like, hey, Cocoa Melon might not be the best thing for your kids.
Yeah.
And people coming out of the woodwork to go like, rawr, how dare you? How dare you diss Cocoa Melon?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's not an attack on you.
Yeah. But it's just... Exactly.
Someone asked a question on Instagram. They said, do you guys want more kids? And that's a very personal question. I'll say it on my end.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You're ready.
I think I'm set. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm set. Here. Okay. This is kind of far away. I'm just going to reach over because I think I saw some more people asking some questions. So,
yeah.
Okay. We're going to jump over. Okay, aloha. Hey, aloha to you as well. Thank you for such great content. Makes me feel powerful as a father/dad.
Let's go.
You know, I think for us too, it's like just knowing that there's other dads out there who are going through the things that we go through, it feels empowering.
Yeah. Chuck said, who do we talk to about getting more episodes of Trash Truck made? My daughter loves that show. Yes, I just started we've already watched the Christmas episode, but we've been having on that on like repeat because it's the month of December. But I'm with you, Chuck. The show has like two incredible seasons. My kids truly loved every single. We played that thing over and over and over again. I'm just like Bluey. I'm ready for another season of Trash Truck.
Hold on. Did you see the Bluey, the season four new opener?
No. You know what? I may have.
It's like, Mom, Dad, Bingo, Bluey. And then it goes through like the whole cast.
No, I haven't yet.
Dude, okay.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah, we'll show you.
We'll have to tap into that here in a second.
Yeah, here in a second. Came over. Okay, this is so good. Came over here from Tommy's crushed phone or TikTok, however you want to say it. But I appreciate the content.
Yeah.
Let's go. Crush phone TikTok. Shout out to Crush Phone TikTok. For those of you who are joining, Tommy just told a story. His phone broke today. Got ran over by a car. It literally got ran over by a car. So on TikTok, we have TikTok over here. We have Instagram over here. And on the TikTok phone, unfortunately, we can't read any of the comments. So people are coming over to Instagram. Sorry, I got to reach. Okay, someone wrote, I think Rachel sucks. Look, I'm not going to lie. Miss Rachel, I think, is an all-star. I think she's absolutely amazing. What she's done for children, what she's done to empower parents, to teach their children, opening up a whole different field of education and even conversation. I think it's absolutely amazing. Do I prefer to listen to Miss Rachel as just a human being listening to someone talk? I don't want to personally, as a parent, listen to Miss Rachel. It's not content for me. It's content for my children. Yeah. So, yeah, I think she's unfortunately pretty polarizing because of some of the characters on her shows and things like that. But you cannot deny how much of an impact she's made on education of young
kids. No, that lady is a gift. Like, how many times she's saved our... Well, not only she, saved our son from just... You know, I think because they thoroughly enjoyed watching her, but I thoroughly enjoyed watching them learn.
That's right.
Like, you know, like the whole sign language and the talk back and the interactive, they were, really, learning.
Yeah.
And so, Levi was learning all his words, and my youngest son, who's, mimics everything Levi does, is now, learning all these words as well, so... some people don't like Miss Rachel, and I think that's totally fine. But hey, look, we're fans over here.
Yeah, and okay, let me just say this, and we kind of talked about it before, but what works for some families will not work for every family.
Yeah,
and some things are going to be a saving grace for some people, and it's going to be a hindrance towards others. You got to figure out what's right and what's true and what works for you. Let me say this too. I think a lot of people. Shout out to Portrait Film. Man, you guys, that Portrait Film has been up there since last Christmas, and I'm terribly intimidated to use my film camera for the first time. And so if you guys have any film tips, let me know. I'm so intimidated by it. But what I was trying to say is, as a parent, I've discovered that life is not about balance.
Right.
If you're a parent and you're trying to find balance in your life, you're not going to find it. It's just not there. Instead, life is more like a rhythm. It has highs and lows, and the tempo increases and it slows, and the volume raises. And trying to figure out how to move and dance to that rhythm of life is going to be much more effective than trying to balance things that have absolutely no merit for a reality.
You know,
the balance is just it's not real. If you have everything in your life right. Tomorrow something's going to happen and it's going to throw it off balance. And then what? And then what happens?
People go crazy. They go spiraling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny here. I know some of you guys are just saying things on here it's just bait. And I'm not falling into it. These guys are, it's so funny. I'm not going to even go there.
What did they say?
It's just so funny.
I didn't get a chance to read it.
I saw it earlier. But Nate.
Yeah.
We live in the beautiful city of Los Angeles.
Yes.
Parenting looks a little bit different over here, you know?
Yes.
We see all sorts of parents and some, you know, and recently we've allowed our son to go on his bike.
Oh, okay.
Cruise around the neighborhood.
Yep.
You guys, if you guys knew me, and Nate would, you know, would attest to this. I was very hands-on, wouldn't allow Levi to kind of go out and do his thing because I was just worried that he'd get hurt.
Would you say helicopter?
I would say helicopter, not the full helicopter. Okay. But you get it.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, I was
it.
Borderline helicopter.
Yeah, okay.
Now, this boy is free as a bird.
Yep, he's cruising.
He's cruising. He falls off his bike. He gets back on. He does his thing. I couldn't be more proud. And I remember one weekend, probably like 2 months ago, you just got on and you said, hey, bro, like, I think you should just really let him live.
Yeah.
You know? And I think sometimes as parents, you know, you only know so much, like, from what you've experienced. Sometimes you need a good friend to just remind you, hey, like, he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, yep.
You got to let him kind of do his thing so that he can actually learn. And even in his hurting, you're going to be there for him. So why don't you allow him to kind of know his boundaries, allow him to, and since then, bro, to be honest with you, it kind of really affected me and it kind of changed my life.
Let's go.
So kudos to you for being a good friend for that good reminder.
Can we also say shout out, I see a good friend on here, Mark Adrian just joined us.
Mark Johnson is in the building.
Mark Johnson.
Yes.
Can I say this? Mark Johnson, if you want to jump on live with us, we would love for you to jump on live.
Yeah.
We're just, you know, recording our 50th podcast live here. So everyone, thanks for jumping in and jumping on. Maybe you're like, what's going on? You guys, we made it to 50 podcasts, and this is going to be dropping tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., so you can be on the lookout. Again, if you guys have questions or anything you want to shout out, let us know in the comments. We'd love to shout you out as well.
Let's go.
Revenge bedtime procrastination is a real thing. I don't know what that exactly means, but I feel like I should say yes, it is.
Yeah.
Man, I've never seen a more creative, industrial, practical human being than a child trying not to go to bed.
Oh, it's so funny. I feel like your kids are like, they're super creative with it. My son Levi just wants to like kind of be by the TV and he'll just say like, he's starting to get, you know, put a lot of words together. So he'll once we say bedtime, he'll like grab his mic and he'll go, and I'm like, all right, cool. But then he'll like point to my phone and he'll say cop car. Cause he's like obsessed with like first responders.
Watching cop cars.
Fire trucks, cop cars, all of that. And so it's just funny to they'll know routine now. By the time, you know, hey, once we start doing the steps, all of a sudden now you need more water.
Yep.
Oh, now you want to go to your pizza that you had on the table for an hour, and now you're just going back and kind of nibbling.
My kids will be like, I'm full. I'm done with dinner. Half an hour later, all right, let's get ready for bed. We're doing bath time. Brush your teeth. I'm starving. I'm so hungry. I've never eaten in my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, come on. You're just trying your best not to go to bed. Here, I think we had some more questions come in. I'm gonna reach over. You guys, I don't know why we set this up like across.
It's a little far. It's just because we're trying to get people in the thing, but maybe see who's on the request too.
Well, there's a lot of questions in here.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a lot of questions that actually came in that we didn't realize. Sorry, our eyes are really bad. Okay, look, how late should we let our 10-year-old and younger kids be able to stay up on the weekends?
It's a great question.
Yeah, this is what I'd say. You should let them stay up as long as your structure and system and routine allows it. In other words, I think people find opportunities to like push their kids, which is normal in life, right? You're going to have an event, a birthday party, something like that, and your kids are going to have to rally and have fun, and then the next day is going to be like a recovery day. But intentionally doing that on the weekends, just resetting their schedule.
Yeah.
In my experience, it's like on the weekends, try to let them keep the same schedule. Maybe change up what you do during the day, things like that. But try to keep the same schedule as best as you can. The worst thing you can do is have your kids stay up really late during the weekend, jump back into school, and try to, you know, regulate their emotions that way.
Yeah, and then you're wondering why they're going crazy on a Monday morning, don't want to be productive at all whatsoever. It's probably because, you know, like they're just, you know, in the repercussions of what they're kind of experiencing on the weekend.
Totally. Okay, I think this is true. So my son Grayson today, he had a rough day.
Yeah.
And a lot of crying, a lot of, you know, just like a little bonk on the air, something that would normally be totally fine. You pushed him over the edge today. And it was because we were at his brother's football practice for an extra hour than we normally would be. And so I can blame it on Grayson and go, hey, Grayson, how come you're crying so much and how come you're having a hard time? Or I can look at the fact that not only was he up an hour past his bedtime, but he was also you know, expending a lot more energy than they normally would.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're usually putting him down last night he was going crazy and wrestling and running around. And so really it's like, what time should you put your kids to bed? Well, what's your schedule? What's your routine look like? Try to stick to that as best as you possibly can.
I love that. All right, let's see what else is being put on here. Procrastination.
Okay, yeah. Someone put some context. Revenge bedtime procrastination. Oh, no. Where'd it go? Is when a parent just needs some me time after everyone is done for the day. Oh, man. Okay. Kids aren't asleep and you just stay up trying to get some adult time without kids. Yeah, that's real. I think that's real. I'm just going to keep on scrolling back. If you guys have any more questions, put them on. Wow, a lot of people joining in. Hey, for everyone joining in, we're live right now for our 15th podcast.
Let's go.
Caillou is a bald-headed demon. I agree, man. That kid is crazy.
Yeah. Someone asked earlier about what to do.
About depression and didn't want to be overlooked. If you can give an encouraging word. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, this is why, like, I remember when we did... you know, some social media content around like the idea of like being a part of community, you know, like parenthood can feel a lot like isolation sometimes. Like, are you doing the right things? Why am I the only one that feels like my kids are the only ones struggling with this? And, you know, I think life is already a lot in itself. And then you add on top of parenthood and all the responsibilities that you have as a parent and a husband and, you know, all the identities that you have to take on in this role on top of, you know, raising kids. That's a lot of pressure.
Totally.
Like, I think that, like, if you're not careful, I think that that can, like, obviously overwhelm a person.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of it sometimes, like, you know, how to, like, kind of, like, combat that is allowing, you know, like, bringing other people into, like, your journey as well. A lot of, like, what I'm facing, the reason why, you know, it's bearable sometimes is because not only I have an incredible partner that is doing it with me, but I also have friends that I feel like I can, you know, communicate to. Like, you and I, like, we talk on a daily basis.
Totally.
And there's, like, stuff that I really ask you. I'm like, dude, am I going crazy? Is this normal? And I think that you kind of bring into context, like, of the season that I'm facing. Same. Because sometimes I feel like I'm alone.
Yeah.
And that can be depressing sometimes. I'm like, man, I don't know how long this season can be. I don't know when I can actually get a chance to breathe. Like, you know, I'll get a text message, you know, and just, you know, being a little bit vulnerable here. Me and my wife sometimes, we're like, man, we feel like we're the only ones facing this sometimes, and it feels like alone, and I don't know when this season is going to be done.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, I think just, let me just say this. Parents who feel like you're facing depression, I think that's real. And I think more people are facing depression or mental health issues than we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And I think probably a few things add into that. When you're a parent, especially with a newborn, you tend to stay up later, get less sleep.
Yeah.
You stop taking care of your health. You start eating worse. You start being sucked into your phone because it's a form of escape. All of the things that would tend for someone to lean into the chemical responses that causes depression.
Yeah.
You know, you're spending more time awake during the dark hours when your body needs vitamin D. Like, there's just a real chemical reality that parents are facing depression or anxiety or stress at much higher levels, I think, than we realize or are diagnosed. And so let me first say, like, you're not alone if you're facing that. And it's unfortunately more normal than I think that any of us would like to admit. And let me also say this. I think that anyone who's dealing with it, you are, you're not too far away from making intentional decisions to improve the quality of your life.
Yeah.
I think all of us, if we take an audit of our life, we'll realize that we have margin to adjust our circumstances.
Right, right.
And so let me just encourage you, control your controllables, right? If you're depressed, unfortunately, the depression kind of attacks your will, your motivation, that your inspiration. But the greatest thing that you can do to combat depression is to get outside, is to go and get some fresh air, to meet up with some friends before you go to medication. And I'm not a proponent against medication, but before you do that, go find some therapy, find some hobbies.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know what hobbies to get into, start exploring. Yeah. Dear God, I'm such a nerd. I love anime. I love Pokemon cards. Yeah. I like video games. It's a hobby for me. I play video games maybe 20 minutes a day after my kids go to sleep. I'll take 20 minutes and play some Fortnite or something and then go clean the house. And it just helps me reset. I also think, can I just say this too? I think that most of American society, it tends to encourage us to work really hard so that we can rest. And so like our whole life is trying to escape work to get to a place where we can rest.
Yeah.
And if you can get out of that mindset and instead try to find ways to get moments of rest every day, whether that's waking up early in the morning and drinking your coffee and tea in silence, like, or going on a run or taking an extra long shower. I don't know. Just finding moments every day to recharge your batteries a little bit. And look, I know that that's going to seem impossible for a lot of people. And for some people, that is impossible, but it won't always be that way. And finding the time and perspective to get out of it, I think is so important. And then exactly what you said, Tommy, the community aspect. If you're depressed, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you feel like giving up, tell someone.
Yeah.
And let them know. There was a recent study done that says, at least in America, 79% of men don't have more than one friend that they feel comfortable talking to.
Yeah, that's crazy.
79% of men. That's crazy. We need, as dads, a better community, bigger community, stronger community. And so let us know. Hey, by the way, if you have hobbies, why don't we just start this right now? If you have hobbies, drop your hobby in the comments below, and maybe some people can get connected.
Yeah, and, you know, I really think that this subject right here is really, really important, I feel, because, like, you know, it touches home. You know, I remember, like, because I always think back about, like, you know, what happened?
Oh, someone just asked a question. What does an early morning routine look like? Like, what time do you go to bed, and what does that look like?
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, like, I think we both had seasons where we both, like, have, you know. Like,
we would prefer to wake up early.
Yeah. Like, you know, there was a season of my life, you guys, where I was up. And I still try to actually be up pretty early. Like, I try to start my day at, like, by 5 a.m., what would be ideal for me, only because my kids wake up around 6:30. So I can't, like, the moment I wake up the same time with my kids, I feel like I'm losing already because I want to be ahead of them.
You're on defense as soon as you wake up.
Yeah. Exactly. So I feel like 5:30 has been great for me. And then I start my day then. I know realistically, not everyone's a morning person. So I think along back to what you're saying, you know, you just got to find your sweet spot and then kind of try that out for a little bit. And then guess what? If you're not a morning person, try it. I think there's somewhere like along, you know, down the line, you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to, you know, it's going to feel not natural for a little bit. Like, I wasn't always a morning person until, like, my first couple of years of college. I had a family friend who offered me a job to work construction while I was in college. And so for the summer, I would be at his yard every morning, and we would be, like, rocking and rolling by 5 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, we're already out on the road by 6. And so that really taught me, like, the importance of being up early and kind of, like, you know, just getting my crap in order. And so I think that kind of just stuck with me, but I wasn't always like this.
Yeah, same.
But going back to kind of what we were talking about earlier about this whole idea of, like, depression and kind of, like, this mental health, you guys, like, you're going to, like, people are, like, we're fragile human beings. You're not a superhero.
Yeah.
You're not. And
you
need
help.
You need help. And so it's okay to ask for help. Like, I had 4 years ago, like, I had these two boys, but we're actually my oldest, who, her name is Zara. She's not with us anymore. She passed at 40 weeks. And I remember when we faced this, we had no idea that this was actually even happening.
Yeah.
Like, you were part of this whole journey with me. And I remember at 40 weeks, you know, when they told us that she was going to make it on the other side, you guys, I was, like, very, I found myself in this crazy dark place where I never thought I would actually, I could even arrive to.
Yep.
And you know me, I'm a very positive person.
Yeah, the most.
And when I'm off, you can just tell. And I just remember, like, I'm like, how do I navigate, you know, this journey of my life, and which felt like it wasn't going to ever end, to be honest with you, for a while. And so I started biking. I remember I started journaling, doing everything that I, like, was never really doing prior.
Yeah.
And then the last step that I was like, man, I think that really helped me change my life was therapy. Like talking to someone that like really, like I felt like could understand me, you know, that made me feel like I wasn't going crazy. I'm like, man, like, you know, so I think whatever tools and resources you need, it's totally out there. And I think that if your health is important, then I think it's worth taking a shot, especially in parenthood where you're going through a lot. It doesn't have to, you know, like even right now, even though that happened 4 years ago, I still see a counselor like still like once a month.
Yep.
You know, and I think it's been kind of like in waves where I try not to let myself get to a point where I need to like be reminded to go see somebody. I want to do it, but there's times where life does get busy. And so I'm like, oh man, I need to go see so-and-so. But whatever you got to do to like get yourself in a good place, you guys, because you're not just leading your life anymore. There are little humans that are relying on you.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
You have responsibility for yourself, but also others. So, you know, get ahead of it. And, you know, there is help out there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We care a lot about our physical health. We go to the gym. We take care of our eating. But when it comes to our physical health, there's some stigma behind working that out and rehabbing that. So, yeah, see a good therapist. Someone keeps that. Maybe two or three people ask the question, if you're going to become a morning person, what time should you go to bed the night before? And honestly, I try to go to bed between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock every night.
Yeah.
I try to get, you know, it's maybe not what time to go to bed. It's what time do I need to go to bed in order to get 7 hours of sleep? 7 hours is my sweet spot.
Yeah.
I can operate in 6 and 8. I just feel like it's a lot. If you give me a 5 hours,
yeah,
4 hours, I become the worst version of myself. I hate myself when I've only slept 4 hours.
Yeah. There was a point in my life where I was probably running off between 4 and 5, and I was like,
let's go. That.
And you guys, I only lasted it for so long.
What I find is if I go for a week or so with 4 hours of sleep a night, not only is my attitude, my perspective, everything messed up, but I feel like I can't get that virtue back. Like, that takes life away from me over a long period of time. And so, look, if you want to start, if you want to become a morning person, let me just say this. It sucks in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, if you're used to staying up late at night and sleeping in, and then all of a sudden you want to become a morning person, like, this is how I do it, okay? Like, when I'm off schedule and I want to reset and become a morning person, I choose a time to wake up, and I wake up at that time no matter what.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want to be a morning person. I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock every morning. So I wake up at 5 o'clock. The problem is when you first start, you can't go to bed until 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. So then it's like, dang, now I only have 5 hours of sleep, but want to know what happens that night? I'm tired as hell. I'm like, dang, I need to go to sleep. And then I go to bed at 11 o'clock instead of midnight.
Yeah.
And then by day three, day four, I'm a morning person.
That's it.
And so I think it's just some of the practical things behind it. A lot of people mentioning the gym. You guys, exercise, working out is so important. I'm clearly the athlete between the two of us. why are you laughing, bro?
Hey, shout out to my brother who I just seen on. It's 12 o'clock.
It's Ricky.
I just saw his name pop up, and he's actually such a good dad. He's a dad of four.
Oh, bro, dear God.
These guys were popping out kids like rappers. Every other year, they're just having one. And so, hey, shout out to my little brother who's actually on this as well, who I love so much, actually.
We love you guys. Hey, for those of you who are tuning in, we are on episode 50.
Yeah.
This has been a live podcast, and we're coming up on 45 minutes here. We want to say thank you to everybody who has tuned in along this journey. I remember when we first started.
Yep.
And on our TikTok, you know, I think we had something like 29 followers.
Yeah.
And I remember going to sleep, and then the next morning we had 5,029. And I was like, what in the world? And then it just kind of took off. Do you see Sean Shell's on here?
Let's go, Sean.
Shout out to Sean Shell and Be Great Basketball.
Yeah.
The South Bay Coach of the Year for basketball.
Which is incredible, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, Sean, we need to get him on.
We do. We've been talking about getting him on
for a while
since
now.
We started the podcast. Yeah. We got to get Sean Shell on
here. Here in 2024, he's coming on, and we're going to get some people on here because it's well overdue.
I feel like the biggest problem with trying to wake up early for me is dependent
on
if the kids wake up in the middle of the night. Yeah, I think that's very
valid.
Very valid. And the reality is, especially depending on the age of your kids, if they're toddlers, they're going to wake you up and you're going to get crappy sleep. And you're going to get crappy sleep for a long time. And that's just the reality of the situation. And during those times, it's like, what is more important to you, waking up early or getting a decent amount of sleep?
Yeah.
I'm going to choose sleep, just by the way.
Yeah.
It's currently midnight in Michigan.
Let's go, Michigan.
And one of my twins woke up and is convinced it's morning, so I'm grateful y'all are.
Dude, it's actually so real.
Yo, that's so real. My goodness. You guys, the other day, our four-year-old comes into our room. He opens the door to our bedroom, and before that, he goes to the bathroom and leaves the bathroom light on. And so he wakes me up. He shakes me like, Dad.
Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's morning.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what? And I see there's light.
Yeah.
There's the bathroom.
So you
think. And so I'm like, okay, let's go. You know, put my glasses on, and I'm like, let's party.
Yeah.
And only to realize that it was 4:30, and now I'm up.
Yeah.
Now my four-year-old is up, and I gotta stay up with him the whole time.
That's it.
Sorry, guys. I just got a phone call, so I'm not sure if it dropped or not, but hopefully it's not. Hey, before we jump off, we're going to wrap up here in just a second. We would love to see where everyone is joining us from. So if you're on the TikTok Live, if you're on the Instagram Live, joining us for our live 50th episode, go ahead and drop in the comments, where are you joining us from? We want to give some people a shout out.
Yeah, and also, you guys, not only this is our 50th episode and we're going live, but every day for the month of December, we said we're going to drop a live, we're going to drop a podcast every single day. So you're going to get a fresh episode every single day in the month of December. We wanted just to end strong. We wanted to say thank you so much for just jumping on and being a part of this whole journey with us in parenthood. And I'm seeing people kind of start putting where Africa, they're from. Jackson. Phoenix.
Someone said they're joining us from Instagram.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I think we realized that because it's Instagram Live.
Phoenix, Columbia. I mean.
Oh, shout out to Los Angeles.
Let's go. Okay, Texas.
Gamma, we're in Los Angeles too. DM us. We'll meet up.
IG Live from New York City. Oh, let's go, man. New York.
Look at Vancouver. I grew up in the Seattle area. We have family in Vancouver, so shout out to Vancouver. I love it. People joining from all over the place. Hey, we love you guys so much, and thank you for 50 episodes. Thank you for tuning in to a couple knuckleheads. We're excited because we got 50 more podcasts. We're just getting started, you guys. A dad watching from the Philippines.
Man, you guys, it's crazy the influence, man, that, you know, like start you're going so, there. You guys, so we're dumb. So, it's so dumb.
You're so dumb.
I'm so dumb. We don't know what we're doing. We just decided to jump on and we just wanted to hop on. And there's just people from all over the world that are tuning in and we're just grateful for it. We love you guys. And we truly wouldn't be what this is without people like tapping in and just, you know, giving us advice and, you know, listening to kind of what we have to say. Man, we need to do some kind of gathering here, I feel like, here in 2024. Right?
Our first ever Dads Who Try gathering is going to happen in 2024. We love you guys so much. Keep watching Bluey, and we'll see you guys on the next episode of Dads Who Try.
Let's go.
Hey, this is Dads Who Try, dog. This is Dads Who Try. Team no sleep, baby. Dads Who Try.